Grace and peace be yours from our resurrected Lord and Savior. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Who would have guessed we'd be zooming into Easter worship for a second year in a row? And yet our celebration is not hindered. Death could not keep him, so a pandemic certainly can't either. This is the day of resurrection. This is the day of new life. The sunshine streaming through the stained glass here in the sanctuary, again, a testimony to the new dawn, to that dawn of hope. We don't have the same pomp and circumstance that we're used to on Easter. There's just a handful of lilies. There's no Easter breakfast this morning. The statement of the pyramids is muted because the screen is just too small to capture it. But that's okay. That's not what makes this day Easter. Today, we hear the resurrection account according to Mark. The whole of the Gospel of Mark is brief and to the point. And this morning, we heard the bare bones, stick to the facts, ma'am, vision of Jesus' resurrection. There is no pontification about what this means for us. There is no reunion of the disciples. There is no great commission. In fact, Jesus doesn't even show up. It's just announced that he is risen by the angel. Now, if you open your Bible, you'll find some verses that follow today's lection. However, scholars agree that these were added on later. Mark's original writing ended here, with the women terrified, too afraid to tell anyone about what they'd seen and heard. And I love this story for that reason. I understand the later editors that thought it needed a bit more, but how fitting to our story now that this story is unwritten. I feel like we're still living in limbo. Hope and trepidation both ring true in our world this spring. We see signs of life getting back to normal with vaccination rates rising, and we also know we must continue to be vigilant with new, more infectious strains circulating. We have seen solidarity and awareness arise for the struggles of our siblings of color over the last year, especially our Black siblings. And conversations that have long been ignored are beginning. And yet, we're not there yet, and we have much work to do. We have seen communities come together and rise to the challenges of income loss and pandemic life, and we've also seen violence tear through communities with mass shootings in recent weeks, domestic violence and suicides on the rise this year of pandemic. We found ways to stay connected even when we can't be together. And also, we're all kind of done with staring at screens to greet our friends. I think of all of the Gospels, Mark's narrative best captures the both and reality of resurrected life. The women come to the tomb on a mission, an important and holy task. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And yet on their arrival, they find nothing to be as they had expected. They had discussed the logistics of getting to Jesus' body since the stone was so large and heavy, it would take more than all of their strength to move it. Going into the last year, I think we all had big plans for what 2020 would bring. We had a vision of what would be accomplished. Calendars were filled with events that indeed never materialized. We were geared up for tasks that fell through. The things we'd prepared for mentally, emotionally, and for some physically didn't pan out as we had expected at all. I know I had never imagined that my child would turn one before she were baptized. I'm a pastor after all. And I never expected that she would not get passed around to all of the church ladies on Sunday morning. I'd never done a virtual worship before last spring, and now it's the norm. The women similarly were prepared, but not for the right thing. The women look up to see that the stone was already rolled away. They don't find Jesus. Instead, they find a young man in white clothes who lets them in on what's gone down. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. They are reminded about something they'd known for a long time. Jesus had said this would happen. He had told them that he would die and be raised again. This was knowledge they had, but they didn't fully understand it when they first heard it. I remember a little ditty that we sang at VBS about the church not being a building, but the church being the people. And maybe you know that one too. We sang it together at the church building, and we knew what it meant to some degree. But this year, we certainly understand that in a whole new light. And indeed, it's true. Here we are gathered for worship as one body, even though we aren't under one roof. After the women hear the good news, they're the first to hear it nonetheless. We get to the most anticlimactic ending to a story ever. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they were too afraid. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They ran away, and they were too afraid to say a word. Or perhaps this is the pinnacle of cliffhanger endings. Either way, you have to admit, it is a weird way to end a story. Obviously, other events had to occur for Mark to have heard the story to be writing it down. We know that the women couldn't have kept perpetual silence. But again, I think that this can really connect to our lived experience in this most unusual of times. Terror and amazement seized them. I get those feels. We have seen so much of who we are and what we do thrown out the window this last year. Almost every single person I've spoken to here at Highlands has mentioned the marathon passing of peace. And it's a beautiful testament to the thriving community life of this congregation. And I've heard again and again that, yeah, even when we can gather together again, it won't be quite the same. We are still unsure about hugs and other contact, not to mention that we're all getting just a little out of practice with those social conventions after being a full year without using them. And at least for someone like me that can be awkward anyway, COVID has certainly not helped. We are filled with hope for what will be and apprehensive for what it's going to look like. We don't know exactly what church will look like in a year's time. I think we've all been a little humbled when it comes to predictions nowadays. And at the same time, we've seen God show up in amazing ways in this liminal time. We've seen the church live into its truth. We've put our money where our mouth is by caring for one another and putting our neighbor's needs and health above our own convenience. God has done things beyond our imagining this last year. If you had told me in 2019 that practically every church would be finding a way to get octogenarians online for worship, I'd have said you were insane. Yet Zoom, YouTube, Facebook, People are worshiping from their houses, in their pajamas sometimes, and they're communing their family members. It's spectacular. Big change in the church, no less. We church people are some of the most resistant to change. It's not been without its trials. But if God has done so much with what 2020 brought to the table, we can't help but be amazed some more at what God is working in our world. The unceremonious conclusion Mark records reminds us that the resurrection is multidimensional. It is both historical and also more than a singular event. There is both amazement and fear because life is radically changed by the empty tomb. Life for the women will never be what it was, and yet they will still encounter the challenges that life brings, but they don't have to face those difficulties alone. Jesus is alive. Jesus will walk by their side even in those fearful moments. Now, I know that Mark isn't heavy on details, but I just want to know what it looked like when the women left the tomb. They had carried with them the spices to anoint Jesus' body. Do they leave all of that behind? Do they hold on to it tight as they run, scared off? Either way, sooner or later, they do put it down. It is not needed. New life takes up the space that death once occupied. We can take a cue from the Marys and Salome today. We too can let go of what was to embrace what is to come. What expectations can you set down this Easter day? New life is emerging in our world, repopulating the voids created by death. The angel tells the women that Jesus will meet them in Galilee, the place where his ministry started. The work of Christ is not finished, but only beginning. Jesus invites us to keep on keeping on, emboldened by his resurrection. And as we ease back into the familiar, we see that things don't have to be what they've always been. We are free. The Spirit of God that brings life out of death breathes new life into us too. Christ is risen. New life abounds. Amen.